Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am very grateful to have you with me here on this May 22nd day, 2022, as we take a look at a very, very interesting subject, meditation. And I say it that way because most people have such a difficult time with meditation. And believe me, I hear it all the time. I teach it. I try to help my students with it. They make a cursory kind of effort, but they don't really make much of an effort. Most people don't. They try to do it in a formal way with me in the meditations I offer them, and I offer them very beautiful meditations with tone and breath work and all sorts of things. All over the years, I've done this for God, eons, it seems. But the trouble with meditation with people in general is they don't take care of their minds. And that means when they're outside their formal practice of sitting in meditation, they don't take care of their minds. They just let their minds wander all over the place and do whatever they want to do. And then they're like these galloping steeds, you know, horses, never been trained, ever, and they're out there in the field just romping around with their thoughts. And then one day they decide, oh, I need to meditate. Oh, yeah, Greg wants me to meditate. So then they sit down with these meditations that I offer them. And though they are beautiful and wonderful, they just can't focus. They have no concentration. Of course, they're probably on their devices too much. Most people are. Meditation is not something that is to be taken lightly. It's like an athlete. You have to prepare for it. You have to train for it. And to train the mind after years and years and years of just allowing it to run rampant and be abusive to you is not an easy thing to do. Honestly, it's not. The old question comes up. The student comes to the master and says, why is the path to awakening so difficult? And the master looks at him and says, because it must go through you. And that is the that is the awful truth. If you haven't taken care of your mind, if you haven't made a lifestyle, shall we say, out of meditation, you're not going to find it easy to do. And most people don't find it easy to do because their lifestyle is around their social life, their monetary life, their devices and the gossip there and all of that. Probably one of the worst things that has happened to society in general is the way we have treated our life through our thoughts. And we make them very trite, pedestrian mentality, gossip, fear, anger, hatred, all that stuff. We just love to do all that. And our mischief is endless. And our mind reflects that mischief. So there's the key to it all, as it were. So I have some questions that I get probably on the average. Every week I get some question about meditation. And I'm very happy to answer these questions. But my answers are not going to satisfy your curiosity, nor are they going to change your methodology, let's say, of how you're going to meditate, because your mind has already set the course for your entire lifetime. And that has happened through emotions. Our emotions dictate our needs, our wants, our fears, what we are, what we're not. And then the mind follows suit with that and gives the details, all usually filled with illusion and delusion. And that's the way we live our life, in the duality of a mind that is push and pull, push and pull, push and pull, and nothing is ever really accomplished. And then eventually people give up. They go to different various forms of yoga or some philosophy that they can adopt, and they don't really have to work on themselves at all. They just go through the asanas, and that's the end of that. And they take their little yoga pad and get up and go get in the car and think they've done it. And then their mind goes to illusion and delusion again, and it goes around and around and around. So anyway, let's get to the questions. I'll try to answer them as succinctly as I possibly can. The first question comes from Les in New Orleans. Wow, that's a long ways away. Why is meditation so difficult? I listen to you on the radio, and there is no way I can do it. I have sat and tried, he says, but my mind just wants to do what it wants to do. Any suggestions, he says, and then he goes into some other wonderful things. And Les, thank you for your kind words about the TV program. I deeply appreciate it. Well, here's the deal. I'm going to be really frank with you. There is no way anyone can meditate if they aren't doing it 24/7. Now, that seems absurd to most people. What do you mean, Craig? I got to meditate 24. I can't do that. I got to earn a living. Got to get up, brush my teeth. Boom. You know, I understand that. I get that. But you have to create a witness, a watcher, something inside you. And I don't want to say what it is because I want you to do it on your own. And everybody has to anyway. You have to watch your mind. Like you were a spectator of it. You have to watch your thinking when you're not sitting down formally. So, Les, here's what I would suggest to you. Don't sit down and formally meditate. It just will drive you crazy, and it isn't going to be productive for you at all. So what I would suggest, if I could please, is that you watch your mind and watch how it thinks. And that means don't talk to your mind. Do not have conversations with it. If you start having conversations with your mind, you will lose your perspective, your posture, your inner posture to observe. And if I lose my inner posture to observe, then I have lost the ability to meditate, because meditation in the beginning has absolutely everything to do with creating the witness within us of watching. And it means that I am no longer moved or motivated by any kind of thought that I might have or any kind of fear I may be engaging in. I just simply don't go there. I don't go to those thoughts. I don't have conversations with them. When you understand this premise, Les, then you will begin to find that your thoughts become less and less potent. Now, they're going to throw everything at you that they can. The kitchen sink, the whole house, they're going to throw at you. But if you can understand what I'm saying and just allow your thoughts to be there without the necessity to engage in them and to make them your thoughts, then when you are no longer talking to them, they will start to dissipate in their intensity, in anything that would be, shall we say, seductive to you giving some kind of attention and conversation to. You just won't care. You will start to see how trite they are and that it isn't necessary to push and pull to try to get your thoughts to be the way you want them to be or to be in the place that you think they ought to be for meditation. Now, if you practice this as I have just suggested, you will find inside yourself this awakening starting to occur. And you will then begin to sit down and watch your breath. And if you do any of my meditations that I offer, you'll be able to listen to the tones and the textures of resonation that live inside you. These tones are not outside you, they're inside you. And you will start to feel the resonation of those tones, and your body will become like a tuning fork, and you will start to meditate all on your own. You won't have to do anything. Meditation will take over. And what that will be for you, I do not know. How that will work, I can't tell you because I don't know you. All I know is what it has done with me, and it became the life of my living. And that's all I can say on the subject. Hope that helps you, Les, and please forgive this inept teacher. Namaste. Next question comes from Shane in Wyoming. That's a long ways away from me too, Wyoming. Shane, can meditation help me with my relationships? And then he goes into, do you think it could help me relax? And relax, relationships. Shane, everybody wants meditation to do something for them. Most people want meditation to do something for them that they think they don't have and that they need. And so with all that being said, we don't meditate to get something. That's at the heart of the great heart. If you live in your life for the sake of trying to get something, you do something, you get something, you do something, you get something for that, you know, all that. No. That motivation is not going to work with meditation. That may work in your finances and that may work in your personal relationships, I guess. I don't know. But one of the things you're going to find is neither this, neither that. We call it neti neti, which means you meditate neither to be enlightened or to be relaxed or to make your relationships better. You don't put a carrot in front of the mind. If you do that, then the mind's going to only think of that. You're going to think of that. You're going to sit there and think, I'm going to be better. I'm going to be better. And this is going to change. This is going to work. No, it doesn't. It doesn't operate like that. It's about stepping away from the mechanism of my mind, my body, my emotions. It's about stepping away from everything that would keep me from the way. And that would mean that I have to realize that if I'm looking for benefits for anything I do, then anything I do isn't very kind, compassionate, nor is it sincere. I have to step back from my desires. We don't meditate to get better or be better. We don't meditate to have the things we want. We don't meditate for any of those reasons. We meditate not because. That's the whole thing. Meditation is the lifestyle unto itself. And I don't meditate because for anything. If you do that, then that's like how we love. See how you love, said the Buddha. And what keeps you from the journey? How do you love? Do you love to be loved? Most people do. They love so they can be loved. And that isn't love at all. Now, you try to tell the average person that, and they're going to get all pissy and moany and unhappy about that, but it's true. If I love you so you'll love me, then there is no love at all. You either love someone through thick and thin, or you don't. And you obviously don't. And as far as relaxation, it's not about relaxing, though you must let go. And a lot of people would call that relaxing, and that's fine. Whatever you want to call it, I don't care. Just as long as you do it, that's all. So meditation has nothing to do with human desire, human ambition, human pride, human comfort. It has to do with realigning ourselves to go to the source. Meditation is to once again remember the source of our life. And if you find that source, everything in your life will fall into accord with the source. And that's very important. I'm out of here. Anyway, thank you so much for your question, and please forgive me. Namaste. Well, I hope this helped. If you have a question, you know how to get a hold of me, Greg at Aspire.com. aspire.org, greg@aspire.org. Feel free to ask anything, and I'll do my very best to answer your questions. Have a beautiful weekend, and please forgive me. Namaste.